Hi everyone, Dan Cassidy here. Welcome back to Top of the Morning on the UBS Market Moves podcast channel. It has been a challenging start to September in equity markets. While bond yields have fallen, these moves have been triggered by growth concerns that have once again returned to the forefront, as has skepticism about the return on AI investment spending. So joining us today for the conversation, glad to welcome back after a late summer hiatus, the head of asset allocation for the Americas with the UBS Chief Investment Office, Jason Dreho. Jason, nice to be back with you here on the podcast. Thank you for dropping by on this Monday morning. Welcome back.
Good morning, Dan. Yeah, it's good to be here back after a week off, a little bit of a reprieve, but certainly the markets have not taken much of a pause over the past week. So plenty to discuss today.
Absolutely. So with that, Jason, let's begin with economic data and in particular, the August jobs report, which we did receive this past Friday morning. Curious to hear your reflections as to what the data says about the state of the U.S. economy and the risk of a recession going forward.
Well, there was a tremendous amount of attention on that August payrolls report. You know, it kind of speaks to, the concern that investors have for the state of the economy. And the takeaway, big picture kind of takeaway from that report was somewhat inconclusive. And I include this also if you also look at the other kind of labor market data last week, including the JOLTS job openings, which declined quite a bit. But when you look at the payrolls report, it was a little bit below expectations, but better than last month. But the prior 2 months, we had down revisions in terms of total payroll growth. So the overall trend is clearly some moderation. Like the three-month moving average of job growth is down to about 115,000. But the unemployment rate ticked a little bit lower. And like if you go down to the second decimal place, it's just the basis point of a move, but it did go a little bit lower. And then if you look at initial jobless claims after rising in July, they have been trending lower. I've been at a very low level for the past few weeks. But the point about the payrolls report, it was neither sort of strong enough to kind of really squash those growth concerns. It didn't come in like a 200,000 to say like, all right, we had a bit of an anomaly for July. Job growth is still running strong. But it wasn't also bad enough to suggest, right, well, now the Fed has no choice but to be very aggressive. So it was in a sort of little bit of a no man's land, which is in some sense, just from the perspective of investors' state of the economy, it doesn't really kind of answer some of those questions definitively one way or another. If you add in other data from last week, like the ISM Manufacturing Index, it's in contraction territory. It's been that way for now 5 months. It was a little bit better than last month, but also below expectations. Yet if you look at other data that we've gone down just last week, but over the past couple of weeks, it still tells a story of the economy is doing reasonably well. The consumer spending is holding up okay. We've seen different durable goods orders, things like that, holding up quite well. And the third quarter GDP tracking estimate, at least for the Fed, is still around 2%. We saw the second quarter GDP numbers revised higher, now up to 3% with kind of good momentum coming into the third quarter. So the momentum of the economy, you need to be put in perspective. It was running quite strongly. It's been moderating. It's around trend, maybe a little bit below trend. But ultimately what our view is that the economy, and particularly the labor market and consumer spending, they will continue to fall, but they won't crack. And so we're still on trajectory for a soft landing. But this landing is kind of going through some turbulence right now, and it can be a little bit bumpy, but ultimately we don't think it's going to kind of crash into a recession. And if you look at even like the labor market report from last week, in absolute terms, relative to what the economy should be doing in terms of the potential growth, in terms of how many jobs need to be being created based on labor market dynamics, 142,000, it's kind of in that range. It's not a bad report overall. It's just in the context of the continued moderation and could this continue, especially with policy rates being as tight as they are, could this kind of trigger into outright contraction? And we don't think so, but that's where the story is right now. It's not clearly conducive or clearly indicating one or another whether the economy is definitely on that soft landing track or definitely on a hard landing recession trajectory.
Given this economic data, as we look ahead to next week, all eyes, of course, will be on the Fed. What do you expect from the Fed regarding rate cuts starting next week?
Well, we still expect the Fed to cut 100 basis points in total this year. Our call has been for 50 basis points in September. But I think after the labor market data, because it's somewhat inconclusive, it's very much a toss-up at this point in time. Whether we get 25 or 50 next week. But I think our confidence in ultimately 100 basis points this year, I think that's where we have still kind of higher confidence in the Fed doing a fair amount. We won't get a lot of economic data between now and the Fed meeting. We get inflation data for August this week. You know, but given so much focus is on growth on the labor market, and as long as the inflation data is roughly kind of around expectations, which would imply for core inflation, core CPI, roughly 20 basis points month over month, and a year over low, that is, you know, still continuing kind of trend, you know, gradually lower around 3%. As long as that happens, that sort of meets the inflation threshold, and not a reason for the Fed to sort of deviate one way or another to go to like, you know, to 50 or 25. The only other data point that could be of relevance that we get before the Fed meeting is retail sales for August. That comes out on Tuesday, and the decision is made on Wednesday by the Fed. If that data is either really strong or really weak, that could, again, sort of be the final straw that, you know, kind of, you know, tips things one way or another. But, you know, by and large, I think it's you know, really up to the committee to decide whether they want to be aggressive or not. After the payrolls report came out on Friday, we had two different Fed speakers, New York Fed President John Williams and Fed Governor Chris Waller. They spoke, you know, after the payrolls report. I mean, both, you know, prepared comments kind of reiterated basically that, you know, they think rate cuts should start next week. Williams was sort of kind of noncommittal in terms of whether it should be 25 or 50. He said he didn't have a view. Waller, you know, did make a comment that made the headlines sort of the media right afterwards that, you know, he would support front-loading cuts if appropriate. So initially the market took that as a sign that perhaps he'd, you know, push for a 20 or 50 basis point cut next week. But kind of if you really look at his comments, what he was basically saying, you know, in the future, if the labor market conditions deteriorate and are warranted, we can sort of front-load him and be aggressive. So I think it's likely his baseline view right now would be 25. So I think it's consistent with believing or expecting 100 basis points of cuts this year, but it may not begin with a 50 basis point cut next week. It may end up only beginning with a 25. But if we get another payrolls report along the lines that we did this past, you know, for August, or anything that's weaker than that, I think that would sort of tip the scales towards the Fed being more aggressive in November or December. In terms of just the market pricing, I'd say it is on the fairly aggressive side, given all this economic data. It's only pricing about a 25% chance of a 50 basis point cut next week, so probably less than a toss-up. It's at 4.5 cuts for this year. We're saying basically 4 or 25 basis point cuts, so a little more aggressive this year, but it's quite aggressive next year in that market pricing is close to 10 rate cuts by December 2025 or Fed funds rates of around 2.9%. That implies not a recession, you know, something, you know, pretty close to it. So we think that part of the market pricing is a little bit overdone. I think it's more likely the Fed could do the 100 basis points this year, start to see how the economy is performing, and then get more into kind of fine-tuning mode next year. And, you know, certainly it can entail a few more cuts, but, you know, the amount that's being priced in the market at this point in time feels a little bit overdone.
So if we now turn to the markets, investors, and therefore markets appear to be a bit on edge, as I mentioned at the top, we did see a fair amount of volatility in August, and we did see some volatility early last week to begin the month of September. How would you characterize the recent performance of markets, and what might it suggest for the near-term market outlook?
Well, the markets reflect the fact that investors are very much kind of skittish. We're seeing a bit of deja vu, or we're experiencing some deja vu. If we think about what's happened the first week of September, especially after the payrolls report, paralleling to what happened in the end of July, but also early August when we got the July payrolls report that was below expectations, and suddenly those growth concerns kind of ramped up to be outright with sort of recession fears. We're getting that same sort of, you know, behavior at this point in time. It is also sort of noteworthy, like, how much focus was on one jobs report as being somehow like the signal for the state of the economy. I think you have to look at the overall set of data, and that's why I think we're still very much in the view that a soft landing is the more likely outcome when you look at the totality of economic data and where the kind of high frequency current trends suggest the economy is going. My sense is that most investors ultimately sort of believe or still think that a soft landing would be their base case, but there's relatively low conviction in that. You know, and the fact that it is, I'd say it's still a consensus, is if you just look at the market pricing, the S&P is down, you know, only 4.5% from its all-time high. Credit spreads are quite tight. If you really thought a recession was coming, you know, these markets should be priced in much more kind of risk of that. Now, that's certainly kind of not the case. If we also look at market performance over the past 2 weeks, you know, the worst performing sector is tech. It was down the most last week at just over 6%. And one could say that's not only a macro story. This is much more of an AI story, that a lot of kind of concerns or doubts about, you know, these companies are spending massive amounts of money, you know, to buy and invest in infrastructure to develop AI models. the question becomes, when are we going to actually see starts of monetization of all this investment? I think that's where the market is becoming more kind of skeptical. Not outright concern, but a lot of good news is priced in, and now you've actually seen, if you look at sort of AI baskets of stocks relative to the overall market, they're kind of in line with the S&P 500 this year versus strongly outperforming if we go back to just a few months ago into June, when there was clearly like an AI, it was sort of the dominant story, or perhaps the best performing story in the first half of this year. So when we kind of take this all together, there's some concerns about the AI narrative that's playing out, definitely some growth concerns, although not outright real recession fears at this point in time. Lots of debates about whether the Fed will do 25 or 50, but also if they do 50, is that a negative signal because of information that they have, or sending some sort of panic signal about the markets? Are they behind the curve? Is that what they are sort of saying? So definitely a lot of skittishness in the marketing. Therefore, it's a little bit of shoot first, ask questions later in terms of any sort of news or any sort of data. A couple of things just about the market performance things that are interesting. Unlike in early August, we don't have other confounding effects like this yen carry trade unwind. That was definitely moving markets significantly. A lot of investors were heavy into risk positioning. And so there was kind of risk unwinding or definitely rotation trade within July that was amplifying the market moves. We're not seeing that this time. And to me, the clearest example of that is the VIX last week got up to almost 24 on the market sell-off. It's nothing close to where it spiked to 65. For a brief period of time at the, early August. So it's a bit of more controlled, kind of contained sort of sell-off rotation within the marketplace, consistent with, again, investors being concerned, but not outright sort of panic hitting the markets just yet. But that does mean, given a lot of uncertainty, that the kind of replay of the August playbook, where things kind of sold off and they started to bounce back pretty quickly, almost then setting an all-time new high at the end of August, I think that's a little bit less likely to replay in September. For one, some of the technicals that were helping to drive the markets in August aren't there. So companies started buying back shares once they reported earnings in July. That was a tailwind in August. Now as we go into and head up into October for the start of earnings season, again, those buybacks will curtail, so you won't get that technical tailwind or support for the markets. A lot of investors who perhaps de-risk, had a little bit of a challenging period in the summer. Their risk limits or risk tolerance, especially if you're hedge funds, they're probably a little bit tighter, so their ability to kind of chase rallies if it recovers in September is going to be more constrained. A lot is also made and well documented of how September is the worst month, and September, October historically are challenging periods of time. So if you know that, if you're sitting on the sidelines, one reason to sort of say, well, I don't need to get back in, let's see how this sort of plays out. This is not a great time. Easy sort of historical patterns. And of course, we have the election coming up in just under 2 months. Election uncertainty, and again, even though it may not be the biggest market mover relative to the economic data and the Fed news and AI developments, it's another reason for investors to kind of just choose to sit on the sidelines and not take a lot of conviction. So I think near term, the upswing that we saw in August, that may be more constrained at this point in September. We probably need at least a couple of months of economic data to really sort of change the market narrative again.
So Jason, if we close out on positioning based on these economic policy and market pricing considerations, what do you recommend that investors do at the moment?
Well, I think I just pick up on my last point about, we might need a couple of months of economic data to ease some of those growth concerns. I think it's important to remind people that the market narratives have flip-flopped quite frequently this year in terms of hard landing, soft landing, stagflation back in April. Early July, just over 2 months ago, there was a lot of talk about Goldilocks economic data with inflation coming down, job growth is strong. That suddenly kind of flipped now to the Fed is perhaps behind the curve, the economy could tip into recession. So all it could take is the Fed to have a dovish rate cut next week, if it's only 25, but indicate 100 basis points of cuts this year. September payrolls report that is better than expected, and August numbers revised higher, and suddenly we get into October, and the narrative could flip again. So ultimately, I go back to my opening comments about the economy, we think a soft landing is the right sort of the scenario that's going to take place. And so whether it's clear at the end of this year, but certainly by next June, I think that should be evident, and therefore we see pretty good upside to equities over that time period, even if the near term things are going to be challenging. So near term, I think tilting towards kind of quality stocks, things that are not sort of taking a lot of risk, I think that's the way you want to be positioned. And there's evidence of that if you look at defensive sectors where the outperformers last week, the cyclicals, small caps underperformed. Likewise, within fixed income, credit spreads right now not pricing a lot of downside risk. So don't need to take a lot of credit risk to you get decent income and yield at this point in time, so kind of go up in quality within fixed income. On the fixed income side, I would say that given the decline in yields and given our view that the market is perhaps overdone in pricing and cuts for next year, I think the risk more is that rates back up rather than go lower at this point in time. And if that's the case, just probably not wanting to be lengthening duration at this point in time. There'll be better kind of entry points to get in and buy, say, the longer duration fixed income of high quality. And then finally, tech remains one of our most preferred sectors. We've seen this kind of pullback, another pretty sizable pullback. Ultimately, we think the narrative on AI still holds, but this is kind of, we're going through a period of time where it's going to be some choppiness until we get kind of clear indications of that monetizing narrative sort of paying off. And again, over time, we think that will play out, even if in the near term, that might be a little bit challenged.
Well, Jason, a productive conversation as always. Thank you for dropping by to spend some time with our listeners, our clients, keeping them current on CIO's views when it comes to positioning the markets, monetary policy, as well as the health of the U.S. economy. Looking forward to picking back up with our conversation next Monday and do wish you a nice week ahead.
You're welcome. Have a great week.
Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit ubs.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit ubs.com/CIO to view the latest research.
UBS Chief Investment Office's investment views are prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management Business of UBS AG or its affiliate, UBS. This material has no regard to the specific investment objectives, financial situation, or particular needs of any specific recipient and is published for informational purposes only. As a firm providing wealth management services to clients globally, UBS AG and its subsidiaries offer both investment advisory services and brokerage services. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. In the USA, UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG and a member of FINRA SIPC. For information, please visit our website at ubs.com/workingwithus. For a full legal disclaimer applicable to the independent investment views produced by UBS, please visit our website at ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer.